do you think that we can lift a little bit of the moss and then just put it back?
Sure.
Is it okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
If I see, I have been here before, but it was in March, and then there were no green grass. So I think that the sense of the smell or the scent of the bug might be a bit different today. And then I discussed with Signe, and we decided that we're not going to enter the area. And Armin also told me that the main bug, I'm right, is actually on the other side of the canal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But I could tell you that I have been here because I was invited to gift a scent to the Chilean Pavilion at the Venice Biennale. And I was invited because I'm part of an international project that I've been with for a few years, but I've never worked with scent before. And the project is based in Patagonia in Chile, south of Chile, at what we would call Illana or Tierra del Fuego. And Gertrude and Sus, so they're also part of that project, were here today. So it's a bit hard to describe, but it has different topics and different numbers and different groups. And now the Chilean Pavilion is about conservation of peatlands. So it's quite related to Östensjövarna and what you find here. And Chile, they have a quite strict rule. So the artists at the pavilion should be from Chile. They should not be Norwegians or Australians or from the United States. So that's how the curator came up with the idea that it should be a gift. And I like the idea that I was supposed to be responsible for gifting a scent. So I must admit that I knew very little about how our sense of smell actually works. I had a quite strong relationship to bugs because I grew up in an area where there was a bug next door and I would play there as a child. And I guess most Norwegians, I think I could say, do not suffer from what the Chileans talk about, like a peatland blindness. I don't know if you would agree, but some of the Chileans, they discussed that they didn't really know about bugs or peatlands at all. But still, even if we know the bug, I think it can be a quite interesting experience to try to know more about it through the sense of smell. And since it was a gift, I also asked myself some questions before I entered bugs and kind of sniffed them. I wondered, as an artist, I'll try to explain a little bit more about what that means afterwards, but I wondered then, is there a meaning or is there a message? What would the bug gift? What can the sense of smell be expressing? And of course, as an artist, this doesn't need to be a clear message, right? So I can say then that I learned that when you use your sense of smell, you want to know about your environment. And often you use it to know that you're home or that you're with friends or family. And it might be totally unconscious, but you know the smell of your mother or your boyfriend or especially maybe your child. And maybe one is not conscious about the behavior of sniffing a dog, that you put your nose into your cat's fur and really sniff it. And these, so it makes bonds, it creates connections that are really strong. And there are, of course, certain processes in the brain that will start when you smell different things. But you could also use it, of course, to know that there's a poison in the air or to know that things are rotten or that you shouldn't eat them. So it will give you intuitive and quite fast information about if it's dangerous or familiar or unknown. And many people told me that they thought that a bug, how can you describe? It must be rotten. But as probably many of you know, because there's so little oxygen and the bugs are quite acidic, they do rotten, but they do rotten over thousands and thousands of years. So I will try not to describe what I have sensed in different bugs before I maybe send you some peat. And the peat doesn't have roots, the peat moss, that is actually the one who makes peat. But we try to just put it back. When I was here last time, it's just dry grass and you could easily see the moss. But Or you have to just come close. There's some moss here, but I don't know. I don't think it's a sphagnum. It's not a peat moss.
Where is it?
Amund? Det dette en torvmås òg? Det en torvmås? Jeg tror ikke det heller, eller? Nei. Men kanskje vil du òg gjøre og finne litt, eller? Jeg føler litt masse gjen.
Du kan bare gå rundt den her. Det er ikke noe problem, men du behøver ikke press på den. Fant du noe torvmose her da du var
Ja, men vi fant masse rett her borte. Men vi kan jo bare gå bort
det. Da går du inn hit alene og henter det, og så er det greit.
Ok. Er du sikker?
Ja, jeg er sikker.
Det var, it was not nearly as much as this time, you know?
Good chance.
Who wants to bring the moss back? They're so honored. I think that this is a kind of peat moss.
Det ska du kan kanske inte.
Nej.
Ja, nu så brått som klart. So maybe if you just sniff it. I learned from my collaborator Daniel taking on their way self to some sense of this.
After a while I involved him because he knew so much and he could actually also help me produce the scent. That if you want to, that he does this kind of like very short sniffing, very fast, which will then bring the molecules in the air up your nose to the organ that I don't know what you would call it in English, but it's like the, there's an organ here behind your eyes up in your nose, which will send signals to your brain about what you smell. Yeah,
it's interesting. Yeah. The pineal gland?
Yeah. And actually there could be many molecules that we don't smell, because like a cup of coffee would let out 400 different molecules into the air, and we could sense 20 something of them as the smell of coffee. And then, so I can try to explain as you sniff it a little bit how we were thinking, me and Simon, because I brought Simon here, and at the time there were no grass, just this dry grass, and we had, we did this sniffing. And then as artists we wondered, so is this the smell of a bug? But what does it remind us of? Are there any memories? And also, you know, like, how do you feel when you, what kind, is it a homely feeling, is it a warm feeling, is it, and then I had to just practice how to describe the sense of smell, because I think as it is often on the verge of our attention, We don't have a very clear language about how, you know, which words to use to try to be accurate. Yeah. So I don't know if any of you have anything you wanna say.
I would say it smells like childhood.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like trying to find worms in a big patch of leaves or something. You know, you're like getting through it and it's a bit smooshy at the bottom.
That's really the first
thing. I was wondering, is it a project to translate it to words? Or do you have to do that? Or what do you think around that?
It's a good question. Yes and no. So the gift should be the scent.
Yeah.
So we made the scent. Those who want can feel it really soon. I did translate it into words, but I used... I talked to a lot of scientists and also Armin here about what a bug is. And I tried to ask all of them, so how would you describe in words or the experience? Which for most of them was quite hard. But to me, it's something like the sense of smell is quite intuitive. It evokes memories. And for me, it's a very homey feeling. It's a very warm and I feel really connected to these kind of landscapes. And then I like the story in relationship to your presentation or the fact that the bugs are layered. They can go thousands of years back in time. And they are archives. So one scientist, she said, it's very important to regard them as you say in Norwegian, kulturminne. That they have the story of nature-culture relationships. How did animals, plants and humans cooperate and live together and treat the landscape. You can find things here, probably. I don't know how deep it is. Armin would maybe know a little bit, but if you do too much of an excavation, you would puncture the lung that a bug is. It's like a big balloon with water, right? So one shouldn't actually look for the archive. You can look for pollen and certain things in cores without killing it. But if you do like take a big area out, you would maybe drain it, even if it was not your intention. So in your so I like this idea that it's a hidden archive. I think that's important, that we should conserve the archive, but we should remember that there's a lot of culture there, because the bugs are often conserved by law because of the biological diversity. And this is a high hay-making bug. It's a slåttemyr. So it was farmed. The grass was cut, probably with a yaw. And it's the most biologically diverse bug kind we have in Norway. And there are some plants here that you told me about, Armin, that really love slåttemyr and might only grow on slåttemyrs. And they are, of course, in danger of extinction because people don't cut the grass with yaw anymore. But you do it, museums do it sometimes. But then also with your question about language. I wanted to explore this a bit, so I looked at sayings or expressions containing bugs or moss. And in Norwegian and in Scandinavia, I have this ugle I mosen, owls in the moss, which most people here would know, but maybe the foreigners wouldn't understand the word of. It means that some danger is lurking or something is not quite right. But it's thought to be several hundred years old and from Denmark. And it's thought to have been wolves in the mire. The ugle og ulve og myr and mose. I think mose is myr in Danish, very similar words. So as the wolf went extinct in Denmark, at least in that part of Denmark 400 years ago, they think that it changed into the slightly absurd owls in the moss. And as an artist, one of the methods that I sometimes do, sometimes it doesn't show in the work or nobody will know, but is to look at words that are similar. I like the idea that the languages we have, that they have a connection to the physical world and word, because that most linguists would say they don't, right? So, but if you think about words, similar words, might have something in common. So words on str in Norwegian and other Germanic languages are often long and thin. And so if you look in a dictionary, this is actually accurate, which I find as a beautiful reminiscence of that sounds didn't matter in a way. So I continued this owl and wolf, but in English. So I also gifted that as a kind of a poem, where the word wood, wool, as in the reminiscence of the sheep that might have been grazing here, wonder, and then it's mer, matter, ma, mire, and I also have howl, like owl. So I looked at words that rhyme or that are actually spelled with the same letters to just try to intuit it a little bit. And you also have wom, like leave more in Norwegian, like the form of a bug, at least where I'm from in the western part of Norway, this, and the depth themselves. So in that, but it's a very intuitive way. So that's maybe the most important words for me somehow. So what I try to, what I think we might have also achieved with the gift, because the gift to the public is then the scent that Simon made after we talked about what we were reminded of. And I can say very short, I think I'm just maybe a bit, we think, me and Simon, and my son and my nephews, so I also brought some children with fresh noses. We think that different bugs, they smell like wet soil, of course. It's very clear, I guess most of you also felt that. And then it smells a bit like the ocean. I don't know why, I don't know if you sense that today, but it's something oceanic with it. And it's not the salty feeling, it's more like something that algae or is producing. And then we think that it reminds us a little bit about fur of animals, that it's something in the fur of a wolf, maybe even we imagined after the saying, right? Or like a dog, or wet wool. So this kind of like a mix of different things. and pine trees. I can't sense that today, but
I think it was cedar trees. Cedar.
Yeah.
Like cigar boxes.
Yeah, because here
they
the
could
pine
come across the oceans, you know.
Yeah.
Cigar.
And we have actually tried quite a bit to find out why does it smell like this? Why does it smell like an animal? Why does it smell like the ocean and so on? But it hasn't been quite easy to find a clear answer. But about the pine trees, that I can also myself not sense now. It's one exciting thing about the smell. The smell of pine trees actually can produce clouds. These clouds, the damp, it needs condensation particles. The water can't travel alone. So recently, Salem, where you've been, Signe, they found out that some substances that pine trees left out, and that we think of like the very pleasing, nice smell of pine trees, might have the function, might be a little bit on purpose, to make more clouds and attract water in dry periods. And then also this wet soil sense is antidepressant, they know, on people, so it's very healthy to do that like this. And there are several substances, of course, you can't reduce it to one molecule, but one of them is produced by bacteria, it's called geosmin. And as a shared meaning with different animals, there are these springtail, I think they're actually animals, not insects. Tusalus or Spliketroll is one example. But there are several of these. They also love this smell. It's the best smell that they know because they eat this the production of the bacteria. So the bacteria can spread their spores, maybe. But they're very attracted to that. And humans are also super attracted. So not only my opinion, but also online and serious research, not only esoteric pages. So humans are also very attractive. It's hard to say why, but one speculation is, of course, that we can then sense that there are bacteria in the ground, which means that it's alive. Mm-hmm. And that's very attractive. It's not rotten, or would any, I don't know, maybe some of you would say it's rotten, but to me it's even more of a fertile sense, you know, like something can grow. And then it's nice that Armin told me that this was a quite good piece of farmland before, back to the Middle Ages, wasn't it? You find written sources. Yeah. So our sense of smell, even if we're not conscious about it, can actually tell us that there's a lot of microorganisms, of course not only these bacteria. Yeah, I could go on, but I think maybe that's... and then I just wanted to to put this quickly just in here. And please come to me, those who want to smell the gorgeous smell that, again, I have to say his name, Simon Daniel Tegnander Wenzel produced for the Chilean Pavilion, because I have it here and you can have it on your list.
Wow. I propose, since we are maybe if you
I can put it
back, and then you stand here, and then people can pass you on the way to the next station.
Yeah, and this grass smelling, we do another car.
Cool. Yeah. Thank you so much, Randy.
Yeah, I hope it was
brilliant.
Nej, jag tror lägger mig. Ja.